Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm sorry about that, guys. I had some technical difficulties. Welcome to the Hard Love Radio Show. I am your host, G. Wright, and I have on the show none other than the infamous. This man is so much, he has so much knowledge, a wealth of knowledge. He's a life coach and author, Corey George. Hello, Corey, are you there? While Corey's coming on, I just want to just encourage you guys to just know that God is definitely in the business of making changes. And he's bringing people through so much. And people are, I think we're in a place where people are actually beginning to look at themselves and actually begin to make some changes and some choice and some life changes. So there's no one better to do that than my friend Corey George. And Corey, if you're there, I'm just having a little technical difficulties on my end. Can you hear me, Corey?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
I've been just having some technical difficulties recently, but I'm just so glad that you're able to be here tonight.
Well, I'm glad too. Well, you know, and the thing is, you and I talk offline very often, and it's always a pleasure to be able to share what we talk about to not only my followers, but your followers as well, as because, you know, these times are trying times, and I often tell people this is a time that we need to be as creative as possible in terms of what we feel that we deserve. So I'm excited to bring some of these lessons onto your show and hopefully inspire someone else to take a look at what they've been doing that hasn't been working. And just inspire change, you know?
Yes. Now, I think people are thirsty for that. I think people are thirsty for change.
Well, the thing is, you know, and unfortunately, things in the world and the will of the world are now providing us that catalyst for change anymore, because folks are expecting so much from other people and other things to get us grounded into what we believe that we deserve. And it's time for us to take back those reins and understand that we are God's children, and at birth we were already told that we deserve so much more. And so when we put everything in the hands of man and not really take control of what we can do and we are blessed to actually do, we lose a lot of that, and we become less than what we have been entitled to actually become.
You know, that's so true. Before we even go further, you know, we have to get a shout-out to our big brother, Robert Wesley, who's actually in the chat room. So he's actually here with us listening in. So just had to send a special shout-out to him.
Hey, Robert. That's my buddy. Yeah, that's my good friend. And, that's my good friend, and that's my mentor. You know, yeah, I'm crazy about his knowledge, and I'm crazy about his expertise and his valuable input into the dreams of other people. You know, these are the kind of people that hopefully I can teach people how to connect to and how to bleed, you know, and to bleed is to get from, you know, and that's the important thing of this whole connection thing, is that when you find people that are willing to share their life in terms of experience and knowledge, those are the people that you should run under, and stay under a cover, you know.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm there with you, too, as well. You know, he's actually has been a mentor to me. And, you know, so I'm just glad that he's here. You, just so phenomenal as well. So I'm just glad to have you guys in my life.
Cool. Well, listen, you know what? And so let's just get started because I'm excited. And, you know, I think you and I talked about this, I think, earlier this week. And you and I were talking about the task of preparing for your breakthrough. And many people don't understand what the term breakthrough means. And really, you know, and really the term breakthrough really just means an act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or some type of restriction. What that means is something has been holding you back from something. It can be a financial goal. It can be a personal goal. It can be a goal that is related to love, sex, or whatever it is. But there's something that's holding you back, and you have no way of understanding how to break that stronghold. And that word stronghold is very, very powerful because that can apply to anything. I mean, it can apply to that unruly boss at work. It can apply to something that's just standing in your way, and you've tried everything that you know how to do. But now it's time to understand that we have to learn how to try something that we haven't done yet and to be safe in that venture of trying something new.
Right.
And it said, and you know, and it said that greatness lives on the edge of destruction, and I so believe that because you really don't understand how great you are until you have been at least slightly destroyed. And I say that because it's almost like it's almost like an egg. And you know, and we take these little things and you know, these little life instances, you know, for granted. But if you're frying an egg, you really don't know what you're going to get until you crack that egg open, right?
That's it, right?
And you can have 12 eggs in that carton, but sometimes you get that one egg, it's like, oh, wait a minute, that's not that egg is not fresh. But you wouldn't have known that until you actually cracked that egg open. And we take little small chances with little things, but we don't understand how to apply those things in our everyday life. And also, as it relates to our larger goals in life, sometimes we have to be broken in order to understand what has been waiting for us to be discovered.
Wow. You know, with that, how has your life been changed by even what? Because I know everything that you discussed, you actually walked through yourself. Everything that you, advice you, most time I believe that most of the advice that you give. Is advice that you have taken and have made applicable to yourself. So how did you come to this, to that realization?
Well, I think for me, it's a recycling, you know, because I think you and even Robert, you know, I talk to you guys, you know, with confidence, and it hasn't been the easiest year, but it's been the most revealing year for me. And I'm excited about what it has revealed because I've had some obstacles in my path that would have naturally derailed me had I not been, you know, the person that I am. You know, I think anyone in my position, but they could have easily fallen through and said, okay, I'm going to go back to what I know works, even though it's, you know, it's basic and it's elementary, but it works. I don't enjoy that. I don't enjoy sitting around and not understanding what this life is supposed to be. So, for example, I tell people, you know, that I had a few health scares. And one of those health scares was a mild heart attack that I had last November. And not many people knew that because when you look at me, you can't see it. And that's the good thing. You know, I'm blessed to not, be the walking billboard of a mild heart attack. But at the same time, what it taught me was that, wow, I need to take a step back and understand what I'm putting on my heart. What am I putting on my heart and also, what am I not getting off my heart? Because the problem was I was putting so much on it, I wasn't getting enough off of it.
Wow.
And I had to learn that I can't do everything. I cannot do everything. But let me learn how to depend on the right resources. Not on every resource, because not everyone is worthy of being in your support system. But you have to learn how to speak your goals through the right sources, and those people know how to constantly remind you of the goodness that is always available in you. So, you know, and, you know, and so for example, I've spoken to Robert on, you know, certain occasions, and then at times he will send me a message out the blue. I may not have spoken to Robert for, you know, 2-3 months, and he'll just send me a message that actually reminds me that someone's paying attention to what I need to do in my life.
Right.
And also what I am also fully aware of that I just haven't tapped into yet. And so that's one example. And also I moved from the D.C. area back home into Texas, and I wanted to be closer to family and to experience the family connection that I didn't have growing up, and now my family is closer, and I'm blessed for it because now I have a support system now. And with that, it also made me be more creative in the goals that I set for myself. And the goals that I have, they never change, but the magic about it is that now that I've rediscovered my strength, my goals have multiplied. And it's a feel-good feeling because I know that I can do them all. But again, I'm not going to try to do it all by myself because I don't want to kill myself trying to better myself.
Right. You know, I have to agree with you, and I could probably say even with Robert that this year has been definitely a trying year. And you know, you and I have spoken offline about some things, and I can say that since I'm going for my master's in counseling, it's just amazing how God has orchestrated everything. But I'm learning so much about myself, you know, because in order to be an effective counselor, I have to know myself, I have to know my own trigger points, and then I have to make the decisions I need to make. And there was a point last year that I thought it was because of the weight gain I had had gone through. And I remember my heart felt like it was about to jump through my throat. I mean, through my chest. But after taking this class that I've been taking, I realized that it was probably a panic attack. And I've made several changes in my life. Not going too personal, but I made several changes. There's certain things, you know, you just can't change. And when God gives you and tells you to do something, you just have to be obedient and believe that he's going to take care of you, and God has. You know, so I'm just not giving anxiety any room. And I'm also thinking more about my weight and about my longevity.
Well, you said something very, very interesting, but you said, you know, when God tells you to do something. And most times, you know, when we hear that little voice, first of all, we have to trust ourselves to trust the voice, because you can't trust the voice unless you trust yourself, first of all.
Right.
And in most cases, we lose trust in ourselves when we feel like we have no control. And that's the perfect opportunity when we give the control away. When you feel like you have no control, that's the prime time for you to understand that you need to become available to the sources that can give you that control back. And sometimes it's God, sometimes it's God working through angels on earth. These are the resources and the people who have your back and who are your safety net and are who are vested in your best interest. These are the honest people. These are the people that are not going to allow you, for example, to walk out the house looking crazy because they know that they want you to look your best. And that's, you know, and that's a small example, but we've all seen it. It's like, okay, now I know someone at home should have told him or her that they shouldn't have put that on. You know, but the same thing applies to the way we lead our lives. You know, we need those people that will tell us, hey, listen, I know you're going through something, but this is not you. This is not the best way to bring forth what you need to do next. Take your time.
Yeah.
Think about how you're going to do this. And also learn to be, you know, learn to allow yourself to be led by example. And these are the times where you find people or you connect with people that are doing what you want to do. And also learn how they're doing it and learn how to integrate how they do it into your natural way of life. So, you know, as for example, if you want to be on the radio or on TV or if you want to be an actor or actress, why don't you hang around actors and actresses and see how they move? That way
exactly.
You can integrate that into your personal being while also putting your personal stamp on it. But if you're trying, if you're trying to be a basketball player, but you're hanging around football players, it's a moot point. You're not going to get anything from it. So you have to learn to find your like kind, and then at some point you will be at their level because you are learning by example. Don't be afraid to be led. Don't be afraid to be led. And secondly, one of the most misunderstood words in our vocabulary is vulnerability. Most people see that as being a sign of weakness. Okay, I'm vulnerable. Something came in and hurt me. No. Being vulnerable simply just means you are available. Now, whatever that means, you know, hurt, harm, passion, love, whatever. Being vulnerable means that you have made yourself available to whatever is about to come. I've made myself vulnerable to the expectation that I'm supposed to be great. So, therefore, I'm going to let those things in that make me greater into my life. So that means, yes, I'm vulnerable, and I'm okay with seeing that. I'm okay with saying I'm vulnerable, because when you're not vulnerable, you're closed off. There is no opportunity for anything to seep in at all, because you've closed yourself off because you think that you can do it on your own, or you close off out of fear because
right.
the things that you've made yourself vulnerable to in the past have hurt you. And hurt will happen. I'm sorry to say, but hurt will happen. And sometimes adversity is the best teacher once you come out of it. Not while you're going through it, but once you come out of it and you look back at it and say, what did I learn, or what am I supposed to learn when this is over? And what you're supposed to learn is how to try and prevent it from happening again. Either it's your own cause, or you allow something else to dictate that end result
right.
to you. And so the breakthrough
right.
is really, you know, it's really that point of understanding that, A, I'm worthy of greatness, and B, I have to control what comes into my life. I have to understand that I can control how vulnerable I am. I don't always have to control what comes in. I can control how much I let in. And I also control what I learn from it, too, because learning is a beautiful thing if you understand that it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary because learning also touches on forming new habits. And, you know, habits don't form easily, but you have to be available to learning to make better habits.
You
and
know,
to
Corey,
turn those
I,
things into life changes.
Yes, I have to say this. You said as far as then I have a question for you from
sure.
Robert. You said something that really really struck as far as having to be willing to learn and be willing to make new habits, new changes. You know, you have to will for those things to happen. In order for that breakthrough to come, you have to yield yourself to the possibility of the breakthrough and be willing to learn what's going to come with that.
Well, that's true. And see, breakthrough really, well, breakthrough only happens when a change happens. It could be a small
right.
change. It could be a large change. But breakthrough doesn't happen when you're doing the same thing. 2 + 2 will always be 4. So it doesn't break through to 5 until you add 1 to it, right? So breakthrough doesn't happen until change. Breakthrough means that you're allowing change. And change is scary for everybody on some level. Some people are so afraid of change that when they change, it's almost like they had a heart attack. Oh, my God, my life is, you know, is turned upside down, while some of us thrive on change. And I have to admit, certain changes for me, I had to relearn how to be okay with. And also that we are all meant to be broken at some point. Because if you think about it, what person that has reached a certain level of success, not inherited success. So, for example, if you inherited $10 million, but you didn't raise a finger to earn the money, you can't speak on breakthrough. There was no breakthroughs. Somebody died and you got money. You know what I'm saying? But if you were raised on projects and you became wealthy based on your hard work, there was constant breakthrough somewhere for you to understand, okay, I found the principle that works that takes me out of this element and graduates me to this next element. Let me go ahead and continue that one breakthrough that keeps doing it or be sponsored by several breakthroughs that has gotten me to that point. So greatness. And it's, you know, it's so elementary because I had to learn it, and it was so elementary that breakthrough is change. Breakthrough does not happen without change. And you can't speak on breakthrough unless you've changed.
That's it. You know, listen, real quickly, I have two questions from Robert for you.
Sure.
The first question was, how has the heart attack made your change, your everyday life? How has it made a change in your everyday life?
Oh, okay. Well, the first change is that I learned to take my time. I learned to understand that there's only 2 to 4 hours in the day. I've learned to prioritize what's important because, again, I can't do everything. And that I don't know everything, and that it's okay to rest my, not only my mind, but my body. Because God gave me this temple. I only have one of these. I can't multiply this, this temple. So respect what God gave me, and also I took it as a sign saying, okay, I'm going to give you another chance because I could have taken you out. Because trust me, he could take me out. He could take you out in 6 seconds or less. But he's like, I'm going to just give you a little warning that I know you're doing my work, but I need you to do it more responsibly. I need you to do it more responsibly because you can't teach anybody if you're not there for yourself. That's, right. That's the first thing. And secondly is to also understand that it's like when I came out of it and I understood what it was, it's like, wow, the change that I needed to make was so simple. And I just had to open my eyes and realize that I'm okay. And that all the things that led up to it, they were supposed to happen. I was stuck in thinking, why did it happen? Why did it happen? Why did it happen? We get so stuck in why that the why takes up most of our life. I just have to understand, okay, it did happen. What's next? Not the why, but what's next? How do I get through it? And what's the learning curve that I had to learn? And how do I pass this on?
Yeah, and I have to say that with that, it's about really making sure you're doing what's the best for you. It's not about what your friends might think. Like I remember when you moved, it was like, what? You're moving? And I've had several other friends who have moved away from the area, and it's like, man, you guys are moving. But that was your breakthrough. That's something you had to do for yourself. And you had to be diligent about it, and you had to do what was best for you.
Yeah, I did. And, and the thing is, I don't regret it now. I started to have regret, which I didn't have often. And I said, oh, my God. And then when we live in regret, we don't have room for growth because regret does not beget growth because regret keeps you in a place where you start to second guess yourself and you question your skills and abilities and your God-given talents. It's like, why did I do this? But then once I stopped regretting because you understand that you can't change your decision. It's already done. And so regret means that you're contemplating a possible change in something that's already happened, which is impossible, right?
Right.
It's like how, because regret can be a teaching thing, but most of us use it in a way where we're stuck thinking that possibly it could have changed. There was no change available. Not saying just move on, the next day, but understand that it's already done. Wednesday always comes before Thursday. If you try to put it after Wednesday, I'm sorry, if you try to put Wednesday after Thursday, but you're going to fail yourself every time while the whole world is still moving on. And that's the principle I learned, is that this world is still going on while I'm stuck in yesterday. This world is still moving along, it's still growing, and it's still doing its own thing, but I'm the one that's stuck, and I'm trying to hold other people and other things back with me to justify me being stuck.
Wow.
And they're moving on.
I know. Isn't that amazing how we do that? And we're stuck, and they continue to move on.
Yeah, and it's like, and then you find that the things that you need to move on are going to move further away from you because you're stuck on Tuesday while what you needed is on Friday. Now you have to play the catch-up game just to get back up there. And guess what that does to you? That adds more stress on your heart because now you have to speed up all over again.
Right.
You that adds more stress, and so now you're not helping yourself by being stuck in something that's going to cause you more harm.
Something in retrospect, a year ago, I think I was discussing with you around the time when I got ready to leave to go to Japan about a year ago, and I was going through the exact same thing on my job. The kids were off the chain. There's no discipline in my school. There's no follow-up. And I was running ragged. I wasn't taking care of myself, my health, and I was just on the go so much that was too much pressure on my heart. I got that breakthrough when I went to Japan, and it was just one of the most peaceful places I've ever been. So I understand what you're saying.
Well, the thing is, yeah, and sometimes all we need is a day away. All we need is, that time away. For example, I've learned that for me sometimes I need to leave my house and go to Starbucks and get a break of scenery to understand that there's a small breakthrough when I break my normalcy, you know. And so when everything is normal, sometimes that's a struggle for me. And you have to know your worst and best catalyst for change. Mm. And when you know yourself well enough, you are less likely. Oh, my God, and this is one of the most important lessons I've learned most recently. When you know yourself well enough, you are less likely to put yourself in a hazardous type of situation because you know what is not good for you. You know what's not good for you. As a matter of fact, I had a call for a job last week.
Right.
And I was asking them about the job conditions. I was asking them, you know, this and that because I know me. And they told me the job conditions. And I blatantly said, well, you know, sir, I'm sorry. I mean, thank you for the offer, but I know based on the way I work and based on my skill set, this is not the ideal position for me. Yes, you're offering me a great deal of money, but money does not buy my health, you know, or my happiness anymore. So if it changed, then yes, I would jump on it, but I know what's not good for me. I won't last long. And when you know
right.
that, but you can say no so much easier. And no is not always shutting down an opportunity. No is allowing the next better opportunity to find its way to you. Because once you say yes to something, you've committed. And sometimes when you commit, you don't have any other room to commit to something else that should be better for you.
You know, I have to say this. This is what Robert wrote in a chat room. He wrote, you also have to listen to yourself, listen to your life, and obey what you see, hear, and feel going on inside of yourself.
Yeah, that's, well, true. You know, true. And that's going back to trusting yourself.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, it's almost like you laying down and something always speaks to us. I don't care if you're deaf or blind. Something speaks to your spirit. And when you learn to trust your own voice, because I'm writing something about that right now, actually, trusting your own voice, because your voice truly is the thing that can keep you balanced. And if you pray for understanding of who you are, then you learn to trust your voice. And you trust what you're saying, you're less likely to be influenced by the wrong things. Because sometimes you find that people are influenced by other things or, you know, otherworldly things because they don't trust their own voice, so they don't go with the opinion of not the greater good. And
right.
you trust yourself and you trust your life because your life experiences is speaking to you, it's trying to tell you something. It's like if you've always, you know, if you've always had what's called bad luck, that bad luck is speaking to you. Listen to what it's telling you. It's not saying, okay, I'm going to keep giving you bad luck. It's trying to tell you you're doing something or there's something in your environment that is fostering the bad luck that's going on repeatedly. Listen
yeah.
to me. When you don't listen, you're stuck in that area. And so Robert is exactly right. You have to learn to trust your voice, and sometimes it's a scary place because if you're not used to doing that, that means you're taking a chance on you. And then when you start doing it more often, again, goes back to building habits. When you do it more often, it's going to be so easy that you can trust it so fast that you become a better spiritual leader for yourself. And it also goes back to being a good discernment of character. Because, again, you trust yourself. And you say, God, can you help me understand myself? And not only understand myself, but understand myself to a point where I know how to decipher what is good for me. You're asking him for a discernment of character. I can meet someone in 5 minutes and say, oh, you're a nice person, but you're not really in line with what I need to do, and that's fine. And you can say that's
right.
fine. They may be upset about it, but I've already actually determined that I'm okay with trusting my voice.
Mm. That's it. That is it. You're okay with trusting your voice. It doesn't matter what people say. You know, some things you just already know.
Yeah, and you know, and see, there's a few principles that I want to talk about when it comes to being prepared for your breakthrough. There's a few principles that I work on because sometimes, you know, and I think we all have this stagnant point in our lives where things are going great and then we hit that wall. You know, we hit that wall and we're like, how do I come out of it again? How do I come out of it again? And once you apply certain principles and, you know, and these principles may not apply to everyone, but in most cases, these are things that we have to understand that when you think about them, it makes it a lot easier. But the first thing I want to talk about is control. And the funny thing about control is the next word I'm going to use is going to shock everybody. It's called submission. So normally those two words don't go together, right?
Right.
Because normally we think control and we think submission. And, you know, and I had such a great conversation with someone recently about the man and woman role, and you know, and how, you know, how the Bible talks about submission and how women misinterpret it as a loss of control. And it really is not loss of control. It's just saying I submit to your leadership, but I control my submission. I control how much I submit to it. So in terms of goals, all I'm saying is, and all that term is saying is, I submit myself to what it is that I desire.
Right.
I control how much I submit myself and my spirit and my soul to everything that's going on, so I can understand how to get what I desire. Because if you don't submit, there is no gateway. There is no gateway because you're saying I'm relaxing. I'm relaxing enough. I'm going to have control, but I'm going to submit enough to say, this is what I need from my surroundings. Because
yeah.
When you control everything, you're not allowing anything to influence you, right?
That's it.
So when you submit, you are controlling how much influence that you're allowing in. So I want the listeners to understand, but that submission is not a term that means that you're weak. It means that you are controlling how much you are allowing into your life to control the outcome.
Yeah, I think what happens is that people hear the word control, I mean submit or submission, they think, okay, I'm giving it all to you. I'm giving you 100% of everything.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to be accountable for anything. It's all in your hands.
Right. And there's certain things that's true, like your faith. But your faith is 100% submission, meaning I don't know what's coming, God. I don't see what's coming just yet, but I'm going to submit my 100% faith, and that is true. But there's different levels of submission. But you control how much faith you have, right?
Right.
Because you control how much faith you have in God. So if people really thought about the terms they use and how they use them, they already know that this applies. We just have to reignite that, you know, but that wordplay and to make them understand that without submission, there was no entry point. If you don't have submission, there is no entry point, you know, for faith or anything else that can make a change. And so submission, just like a breakthrough, is an entry point. It's only an entry point, and you control if it's a dime size or if it's a quarter size, if it's as big as a door. It's an entry point.
Well, I like how you said that.
Yeah, it's an entry point, and then after you have submission, now comes the patience. You know, now comes the patience. Okay, I made an entry point. I've spoken about what I wanted. I made it clear. But I understand that I need to submit to make myself available for what I can't do for myself. And so the next thing is patience for something to come through that entry point. Because 9 times out of 10, we'll go to, you know, we'll do something. And so let's say you're at a concert or you're on stage and you're doing your music, right? And let's say that you hope folks buy your album. And let's say they don't buy it that night. But you have no idea that many people may be going home downloading your same album on iTunes because it's more convenient for them.
Correct.
But because you wanted them to do it the way that you wanted to on your clock based on your requirements, you didn't understand that you have no control over that. So when you practice patience, you're letting things happen the way that it happens for other people, places, and things based on this, you know, based on their best traits. So when you have patience, all you're saying is, I've done what I had to do. I've submitted. I've done what I had to do. Now let's see what comes through that entry point or that gateway.
Mm.
Let me just sit here for a while because patience really does relax you. Patience makes you less anxious. It's like, oh, God, I don't have to sit here anxious and bite my nails. I know what I have to do. I did it. I don't question what I have to do. I don't question my voice anymore.
I don't question my voice anymore. I don't know about for you guys listening, but that's a profound statement. That's a profound statement.
And see, for me, my issue was growing up, you know, but I've talked about this several times. I have no shame in it because a lot of this was, well, actually, this was not in my control at all. But having a history of sexual abuse and, you know, and all these other things, I lost my voice. Because I felt that no one heard me. I felt that I was hidden. I was the little kid that was, you know, in out of 600. I would hide in the corner. So to graduate to a point where I feel like my voice is independent And just as independent as the next person standing next to me, that's a lesson that needs to be shared. But no matter what you go through, that tends to muddy your clear waters. That tends to muddy your clear waters. But your water
yeah.
is as good as you know as the next person's water. You have to unmuddy your own waters, because at some point you have to take responsibility for the fact that A, I know that I'm important, and B, put responsibility where it lies. And so I have to learn that certain things in my life I had no control over, so therefore why am I taking responsibility for something that's not mine to own? And then you learn to you trust your voice more, because you make yourself available to those lessons, again, that I spoke of earlier, but you're making yourself available to those lessons that your adversities were meant to, show you. It may happen 10 years from now, it may happen 20 years, but it will happen sooner when you say, God, I submit.
You know, I can definitely say this. I can say this. I'm at a place in my life where I'm just saying, God, you know what? I submit. And I'm telling you, during this process of going to get my master's, you know, not putting too much of my business out there, because this is Blog Talk Radio and a radio show. But I'm just going to say I've been listening more. And since I've been listening more, you know, the anxiety of worrying about, you know, how's this going to happen. It's like, you know, God is taking care of me. And if I'm in the will of God and I'm doing what he's called me to do, he's going to make a way for me to do that. And he's been doing it. Things that finances are coming in where they would say it should take 60 days, it's taking 30 days. You know, it's like God is just working everything out so that I can focus on my studies.
Well, you know, well, the truth is, you know, I'm not a holy roller. I don't want to.
I know.
but the truth is, I hear God's name thrown out a lot, you know, and it's like either you believe in him or you believe in something else. There's only two choices, really, for me. And if you're quick to thank him when you have success, but you should also be quick to thank him when you know he's about to pull you through.
Right.
And normally now, when I'm going through adversity, I say I'm going through, and I'm coming through. You know, that's the big term, is that I'm coming through, which means that at some point it's going to be over. If I only say that I'm just going through something, it really doesn't mean anything. But when I know and I factually state, hey, I'm coming through something, that means that I'm preparing myself for this new lesson that I know that I'm about to learn. I know that I'm supposed to go through this, and yes, I am going to go through the normal cycle of, you know, it may be guilt, it may be pain, it may be sorrow, but I know at the end of the day, when it's time, I make myself available and vulnerable, you know, there's a word again, vulnerable to what I had to learn. So like, hopefully, if I can, I cannot go through that again.
Man, I'm just loving this conversation. Keyword, vulnerable. Vulnerable.
Well, you know, well, and see, I live my life with simple terms. I no longer, you know, I no longer use big phrases, but to describe what I want to do. And also, I'm going to use a phrase with you, and I'm going to tell people what this is that I tend to lead folks with now. It's called the I am statement. I am. Now, if you
right.
notice, if you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, but let's say, for example, but you wake up with a headache, and you say to yourself, I am sick. What does your mind and body do? Your mind and body moves towards that I am statement. So as long as you keep saying, I am sick, but your body and mind will respond to what you're telling yourself. That I am statement is such a powerful statement of declaration. It's two words that we learn in preschool. Think about this. We learned this from our parents when we were 2 and 3.
Yeah.
2 and 3 years old, that's the phrase that actually carries us through this process of discovering what we are meant to have. So it means if I wake up and I say, I am successful, no matter what happens that day, I have already programmed my mind and my body to move through, but to move towards that phrase. And even if you don't believe it, you say it enough, I guarantee you will start moving towards that declaration phrase. Even if it's a negative phrase, if you think that you're fat, if you think you're ugly, if you think you're undeserving of something, if you say that I am unworthy of blank, well, guess what? You're going to behave unworthy. Therefore, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And no one's going to give you something when you are behaving in an unworthy fashion. Because I'm not going to say to you, hey, guess what? I have an opportunity, but I know you are acting unworthy, but here it is anyway. Now, I may tell you now, once you change your attitude, I'm still here. And it may still be here, but I won't wait on you. Because it won't wait on you. But once you are able to actually correct your frame of thinking and declare it early on, because I start my day off now, every morning I say, God, you know what? A, I'm yours. B, I am successful. And C, I am whatever it needs, you know, to take for me to get my goals done today. Even if I don't accomplish not one of them, but I find my body moving towards it. So I'm not upsetting myself.
Wow. You know, that's profound. You know, I can say this in the counseling field, as you know, one of the things I'm learning, listen, now I'm learning some things. One of the things I can say is some people say, replace the negative with the positive. Replace the misbelief with the truth. You know, because like you say, if you still say it's not going to happen, you have to place it and say, you know, who told you it's not going to happen? You know, and then you have to think, now if you believe in God or whatever, then you have to say, well, God says all things are possible. You know, so that's just a lie from the devil. That's just a lie from pit of hell.
The thing is about that is I want to say real quick. Normally, no one is no one is telling us this. But if they are, and you're in the and if you have the power to remove yourself from that situation where someone is telling you that you are unworthy of something, that's the first step. But sometimes, let's say you're in a home and you're a child, or you're in a position where you can't, you have to learn to understand that person is broken. A broken person cannot help you build your puzzle. They have no idea what that means. You know, a broken person can only give you pieces. Broken person can only give you pieces because they're not even whole. A broken person only gives you pieces because the sad part is they have to break you to make their puzzle feel whole. It's almost like that person that makes you feel bad, because if they make you feel ugly, they feel beautiful. If they make you feel bad, then they feel sexy. You know, if they feel like they have a better life, they'll tear yours down in order to make theirs feel better, not understanding that there's room for all of us to have the same thing. So you have to understand that, you know, judge your source of compassion. If that person's not compassionate, pray for them. Pray that they're healed, because when they're healed, they'll be better for themselves first and then better for you. And that's going back to understanding that when you're not better for yourself, you can't be better for anybody else, because everything that you are connected to will feed off of whatever you give yourself. If I'm bad on myself, my kids will not be productive as much as I would love them to be. I can't tell them to go do something and then I'm looking like, you know, the Grinch. It's not going to happen. So you have to understand, build your source of compassion. And understand that people are not compassionate towards you. It's probably because they don't know what that feels like. They don't know what it looks like. It'll scare them. It's almost like Halloween, and you show up, you know, dressed as a clown, and they're like, who the hell is this? It's called compassion, because they've never seen it, or they haven't seen it in so long that they don't recognize it. But they're only responding by habit. But when you place people in the diagram of where they belong, you can better deal with people. And I speak on this a lot because my father, you know, because my father is alive and well. I'm finally back in his life. It was my choice, but I understand that for who he is always going to be who he is. I make the decision as to what to accept from his mouth.
Right.
He says things that I'm like, oh, my God, after 50-something years of living, you still behave this way. But guess what? I realize it's you. It's not me. You're this way with everybody. So judging my source of compassion, I now know how to control that relationship, because I don't get upset, because I realize you're broken. You're never going to be able to fix my puzzle. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I prayed enough for you, and if it comes to be before you leave this earth that you change, that's great for you. And I don't expect it. I pray for it, but it's not in my realm of expectation to want better for you in my lifetime until I see it. So, you know, so it goes back to understanding that you take care of yourself and understand that we have to build that support system. Because a support system will not allow you. They won't allow you to think out of yourself. They will not allow you to falter.
Wow. You know, I have to say this real quickly. If you guys want to call in, the number here is 646-595-4311. The number here is 646-595-4311. Back to you, Corey.
Well, I asked you to find this song for me, right? Because I wanted to make sure that we inspired people to think bigger of themselves and to also understand the expectation of what God is, what God has ordained for them. And I use these big spiritual words, but trust me, it only means that He expects better from us than what we're already doing for ourselves. And this song is off of, well, actually, this is the title track off of the latest Mary Mary album, and the song is called Something Big. But I want you to hear the words. And the beat is cool, too, but I want you to hear the words and really understand that they're telling you what's already been said, but just listen to what they're trying to tell you.
Man,
You guys are listening to the Heart Love Radio Show. The number here is 646-595-4311. Have none other than this dynamic, fantastic life coach and author, Corey George.
Hello. And you know what's so funny about that song is that every time I hear the song, and actually there's another song on that album that kind of gets me into my, you know, my thing, but sometimes when I hear the song, I always think of something different to tell people. And what I want to tell people sometimes is to learn to sit still. Learn to sit still. Just sit. Just sit with yourself. Learn to just be quiet. You know, oftentimes we want to be busybodies, and we don't understand that sometimes being busy is just noise. You know, being busy doesn't always mean productive. And that was one of my problems, is that being busy. But I was not productive because, again, I wasn't good for myself. So, therefore, no matter how busy I was, it was not going to be anything monumental. I had to sit and just be, and just be quiet. And when you're quiet, that's when that voice starts talking to you. Because when you're busy, you know, the voice can't talk to you because your mind is working on the next task. But to learn to just sit. And, you know, there's so many people I've met that say, okay, I can't be alone. I don't like being, you know, being at home by myself. No, your home should be the place where you should sit still and be comfortable doing that. If not, then you need to change homes. I don't care if it's an apartment or a trailer house. You need to change your trailer house. You need to change, you know, change your room at the hotel. You're not home. Home should be that place that fosters that, well, that fosters that growth by just sitting still and feeling safe and being still.
Wow.
Because you think about it, because you look at look at the world around you. I mean, normally trees don't move. Yeah, you know, they say they move, but can we see it move? No. And most times what they're doing, they're sitting still, but they're flourishing. They're still getting greener. You know, the trees are living hundreds of years, and we're dying at age 70 and 80. There's something to be learned by just sitting still.
Mm.
They're taking, and they're taking whatever the world gives them, but they're still sitting still because they know their place. I'm here to grow. I'm going to stay in my lane, and I'm going to just grow. So sometimes we have to know what our lane is and say, for right now, my lane is just to be quiet and listen to me. But you can only do that when you've conditioned yourself to learn what your best me is.
Mm.
And, because I tell people all the time, there are times that I have to make decisions based on what I need, not based on what I can give other people, not based on if I can help somebody else. Well, Lord knows, you know, a helper like myself and, you know, even Robert may speak to this too. Sometimes we want to help everybody and realize we just need to sit still and help ourselves. And then we can better help somebody else because this world is a hybrid of connections. That's what the world is. That's why God put us here, to be connected. But most times we're so worried about what we get from other things, not what we give. I worry about what I give to people. I worry about the advice I give. I worry about the knowledge, that I hope to impart. So sometimes I have to stop and say, is this knowledge good knowledge, or is it just me running my mouth?
Yes. You know, it's I have to say that this whole process, what you call life, I think if we really will grasp and really learn the lessons are just learning, like you say, just be still and just say, you know, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to complain about what's going on. I'm just going to just relax. I'm going to relax. I'm sit still. I'm going to pray. I'm going to take that time to meditate and take the time to really, really hear from God. You know, God will definitely do some great things in our lives if we will take that time to just be still. And sometimes it's just to say, you know what? To the outside, I don't really say this word, but sometimes you have to say, you know, shut up to all the outside voices, go somewhere, focus on God, and focus, don't focus on your situation or your problem that you're going through.
Well, and also, you know, and I was just thinking as you were talking, you know, and you mentioned God, and every time I hear his name, I think of something else too. And again, I was speaking to someone the other day. I'm not going to say any names. I had to kind of teach them something. They would talk about their purpose in life. It was a great purpose, but they never mentioned God. I said, well, how are you going to talk about purpose if purpose is God-given? Purpose is something that you're given when you're placed here. Purpose is not something that is done. If you believe in creation, then you don't believe in purpose because they don't coincide. And I said, but you've talked a lot of good stuff, but you never talked about God and your purpose, and purpose is godly driven. So whenever you hear people speak on purpose and you speak on their passion, because purpose is why we're here. Purpose is what are we here to accomplish. It can be that person that died at the age of 5, but they taught the world something through their 5 years of living. That was their purpose. Or the person that dies at 115 to show them what the purpose of longevity does for your life. That's a purpose. But if you never speak on it in terms of, you know, it being a gift and a godly gift, then you don't understand what purpose is. Purpose is, what are we here for? And how do I move myself towards the fulfillment of that purpose? I know my purpose is to educate through my, you know, through my trials. That's why my trials are never embarrassing anymore. That's why they're not embarrassing, because it's part of my purpose. Now, your purpose may be something different as a counselor based on your education as a counselor. That does not make your purpose any less important than mine, but when you understand where the purpose comes from, you can move towards it a lot easier without regret, without all the static that normally comes with an unclear mind.
Exactly. Exactly. For me, I know my purpose is to help those who are hurting, those who are lost, and to bring hope and encouragement in their lives. That's what I feel like. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly. And it's funny because I always before I do a show, I get nervous, and folks think that I'm always, you know, just this confident person. I see every time I make an appearance or I'm on a radio show, there's nerves, you know, 5 minutes before everything I do. But I said that's a good thing, because you know what? It validates the fact that I'm not perfect. It validates the fact that my expectation of me being perfect is out the window. You know, that little fear that happens, that lets you know that, yes, things can go wrong. And it's okay, because you're not perfect. But as long as I stay focused, it'll come off just fine. And you know, and so before I do an appearance or I go on, I go on TV or I like a radio show, I say, God, I'm just going to open my mouth and my heart. You speak through me. I'm just a conduit. Then once it's done, I shut down and I just get silent, because I have to understand what I just told everybody and I have to live it. So it's about understanding that it's safe to be human while at the same time being a godly person in respect of what you're here to do.
You know, I know we can go on and on.
You know,
I think that we might need to do this again really, really, really soon. Because
But we're working on the Sit or Stand series that we're going to bring to your show as a teaching series. So I want people to know that if you bought the book, that the goal is to bring the book to life in the format of an online series. So I hope you guys have the book. I hope you guys have read it, or else if you haven't read it, it's time to get to a point where you're standing freely.
Most definitely, most definitely. You know, I definitely got to say I am so blessed, and I know that our listeners are blessed as well, because I'm just thankful for what God is doing in your life and for who you are in the kingdom and for the changes that you are making.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm thankful for the fact that you can recognize that and can use me as accordingly as, you know, as you can. So that's what I'm here for. And I'm always grateful, you know, to be asked, because when someone asks me, I always think, wow, they think highly of me. So that's how I take it. So thank you. And I also want to thank everyone who has supported me, because I don't do anything without any of my connections. So thank everyone who listens, who responds, who sends me emails of encouragement, because I also need you guys as well too.
Yes, and I just want to send a special shout out to Kine, to Patrick, to Robert, and to family I know who are listening right now. So I definitely know your supporters are actually listening to the show.
All right, you guys, and listen, I'm going to be here again here again very soon. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at I Am Corey George, the C-O-R-Y-G-E-O-R-G-E, or on Facebook, it's Corey George 73. I look forward to connecting with all of you at some point, and you guys stay blessed and stay highly favored, as well as understand that you are destined for greatness, so don't you forget it.
You guys, I'm going to leave you guys right now with Teresa Pinkney. I'm an artist from the D.C., Maryland area, in Virginia area, and just want to again say God bless you. Thank you so much, Corey, and I'm looking forward to you coming back on again.
Always.
So I'll give you a call soon.
Okay.
And you guys, I thank you guys for tuning in, for making this show a favorite. I'm going to leave you right now with Teresa Pinkney.